Like, I remember when that Shape Rotator meme first started going, and there was a few like games, and or was it, we just at work, I was just trying to shape rotate with like a few of the analysts, a couple of whiz kids, this Chinese guy, and like I wasn't that good at, like I was all right, but
Yeah,
these
what's the
whiz
name for people who are neither?
neither word sell nor share that, yeah, that's like I forgot the name, Howard Gardner or something. It's multiple intelligences. I think like physicality is one, and
And like high emotional,
what's the yeah, what's
intellectual,
the consolation intelligence? Like, yeah, physical probably. Like, yeah,
being good at sports.
I got
No
good
problem being good at
coordination, man.
sports. Yeah, good. Yeah, visual awareness. Yeah, can see stuff real good.
Rich, the name for them is Universal Explainers. So if you get with the fucking program here.
What, for people who can do neither?
Yep.
Yeah, just cultures in the way,
And
man.
yeah, it's just
I
all
see, I
culture.
see. I'm sorry. These are fake quadrants. Everyone is exactly this has exactly the same capabilities.
Yeah, I told this
That's
list one
something I
guy
believe in strongly.
about universal explanation, and like he was just like, he's in disbelief, eh? That like someone's smart, because he'd heard of Deutsch and he knew he was smart, but he's just like, always like, what? It's like everyone's the same. And I was like, yeah, no, it's kind of crazy, but like, I just see there's a big inferential distance between Deutsch stuff and that. But like, we almost didn't talk about it. It's like, it was so insane to him.
Well, I mean, I think you do have to do, if you're introducing to someone new, I think you have to give all the caveats that Deutsch would probably give, right? Like memory stuff is like speed and memory. Like typically when you're talking to someone, speed and memory are actually quite apparent, but universal explainers want to get rid of that distinction. And so it's unclear how much if you gave someone infinite time and infinite speed to figure stuff out, then it is starts to be more unclear whether everyone could do everything. Do you reckon they'd get my proposed experiment past the IRB, where you give a bunch of intellectually disabled people, like you spend 10 years trying to teach them quantum physics and see what happens?
And get them really interested in quantum physics.
Yeah, that sounds like a skit,
They
like can't
a
be
1990s
literally retarded, right? Like Deutsch says, what does he say? Like,
I
you
don't
can't
know.
have broken hardware or whatever.
I think,
Yeah, I
yeah,
don't know
that
what.
could disqualify you
Like 70 IQ
from the
is fine
universal
because that's
explainer
within
club.
the realm of normal
Well, it
human ability.
depends on the reason. Like, if you got brain damage
Yeah.
and you got brought down to that.
Yeah, that just gets us back to Taleb, doesn't it? Whereas, like, all the left tail stuff is because of there are lots of ways to break a system, and there are not that many ways to, like, magically make it better.
I was thinking the war is the way that there's seems to broken like Talib's and Deutsch's like quiet alliance, because they're like very opposite, right? And quite vocal about it.
What, are they beefing?
No, they're not beefing. This is more like, but like they were big fans of each other, and like Talib was a big fan of Deutsch, and like Talib's like, not big fans of many people. But then like Deutsch is pretty vocally pro-Israeli, and then Talib's pretty vocally like anti-Israeli.
I doubt that that would be the end of their
Yeah, I think they'd say
mutual
they're good on this
respect.
and bad on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Taleb fucking loves Popper. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's really where I got
Yeah.
my, that's where I got
You kind of
my
were aware of him.
Popperian insights from. But it's been made a lot more explicit through Deutsch. But
Yeah, I remember
I
him.
always understood like naive empiricism and stuff like
Well,
that.
this is Black Swan, it's named after, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also the turkey problem, which I think about a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, me
I think
too.
it's
It's
chicken,
like,
right?
that's honestly a great one.
But yeah, I
No, it's
love
a
that one.
turkey because it's turkey before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Well, I call it
It's
the chicken
the
one.
Well, you're a
I
fucking idiot that's been established.
don't
Jesus Christ. What's the chicken's P value?
know. My I don't
I
really
came up
follow
with
that
my
joke.
own example. It's called the chicken problem. It's a chicken before Sunday lunch. It's totally different.
My history with Karl Popper is I did some random 101 or 201 philosophy class, and to go over a bit of Karl Popper, just like real high level, or maybe I didn't even do it, and just some philosophy students were telling me about it. That like science
Like you
isn't.
didn't even do the class. You can't remember if you did the
I
class or if you just
can't
learned
remember.
about
But I remember this. I remember my reaction to Popper. Like, so if someone, either the lecturer or some student tells me that like science is like can't be 100% true, and I had an aversion to that because I was like a I fucking love science guy, talking to some humanities guy that like and I just started reading like Dawkins and Pinker and stuff, who like to be clear aren't anti-Popper and stuff, but like. And so I was like, oh, no, all that shit's bullshit. And I really didn't like it.
Pattern matching onto the people who say, well, it's called the theory of evolution, not the fact of evolution, not the law of evolution.
Well, Dawkins or pushes to say like fact. But
No,
Deutsch,
that's dumb.
I know, that's
They
dumb
should
thing.
teach in school that there's no fucking distinction between laws or theories or any, that it's all just arbitrary words assigned.
Yeah. The reason I think Dawkins doesn't like that is because it gives like conspiratorial people like standing to say, well, it's all a theory and our theories. Creationism is just a strong theory on like
So
how
you call
life.
something a law when it's the dominant explanation for which.
Well, in Popperian terms, yeah, or Deutschian terms, you'd say that. And Dawkins would probably say when there's like, it has so much evidence and it gets to a point where.
But it's tough when, like, within recent history, we've had laws that were not laws, right? Like, was gravity called a law? Presumably.
I mean,
Yeah,
that's the whole
non-gravity.
thing when Popper talks about Newtonian gravity. It was like at the time, like that was like the one thing everyone was sure was 100%. Like, it was just like so pervasive, and like Kant's whole, I think Kant's whole difficulty was like there's this impossibility of knowledge or truth coming through into us. Like, this just does can't work like that. But Newton's stuff is 100%. So, like, that's the paradox. Like, Newton must have got it from there, but it's impossible to get truth from there. So, like, what
You had
do?
to
And then, like,
introduce like a priori knowledge and shit because of all of that. That's like, that's
which
why
I sort
he.
of didn't realize. Like, that was like Popper kind of emphasized that. That was like Kant's big problem situation, which like makes Kant easy to understand. And then Popper's like seemingly solved it, right? Like, so it's kind of like. Well, yeah, I don't know. We're gonna get too into
Well, he
this.
solved it, but also, I
Well,
mean,
yeah.
there's one domain where we have direct access to the truth, the fact of the matter. And that's called phenomenology, baby. And that's what this book by Virginia Woolf is about. How's that for a segue?
let's move it. So, Benny, is this your new favorite book of all time?
I'm on Team Rich now. Oh, yes.
Yotish.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I mean,
Bro, you're
I'm
just
having trouble
dating.
reading
You're
it
trying to get
still.
some literary pussy, bro, right now.
It's true,
Did
dude. It's true.
you tell your girl that you're reading Virginia
Yeah,
Woolf?
that'd go a long way, I reckon.
No, she was over. I'm sitting on the couch. I told her about Stoner. I gave her a little monologue about Stoner, and
Yeah.
then she
Did you do
started
a
turning
cam
on
and
the
hide your
thing.
copy of Infinite Jest inside the Virginia Woolf book?
I should have pointed out Infinite Jest on my shelf. Then she would have for sure slept with me.
I remember I told a chick
Not
about
happening.
Good Old Neon being one of my favorite stories by David Foss Wallace, and she like read it, and then on the next day, like she wasn't a huge fan of it. She was like smart and shit, but it was a bit of a letdown.
Smart and shit.
It's
Classic.
actually it's my
All those girls who are
high
smart and
verbal
shit.
it's verbal acuity. It actually brought it down a bit.
Dazzled by
Yeah, that's
linguistic
why she wasn't.
once
Yeah,
again.
that's why it didn't work out. It was Good Old Neon, not.
She's smart and hot and shit. I mean, what else do you want?
Have you seen that meme about Joe Rogan? And they like may say like he's is the equivalent of like an ancient sort of warrior lord. And it's when he'd bring like sages to come see him. He's like, "You tell me knowledge." Yeah, and it's like, "Oh wow, the star goes like that." Just like believes everything. It was like kind of funny.
Flash of light come down from sky. You
Yeah.
explain why make fire.
Poor Joe, man. Just trying to live his life.
These are good.
Yeah, he's
He's gonna
probably.
do it until he's 86 years old, because he's already like, what, I don't know, 60 or something.
It is
I think
interesting, like how
JT's
big
done
like
that.
he got it.
No one retires gracefully from anything. They just hang on with their fucking fingernails embedded until the very end, until it's embarrassing. No one knows when to quit. And yes,
You're not
I'm
a
talking about
doctor, too.
American politics.
Yeah, I'm wondering how true is that, and people probably overdo it in general. It's hard to like leave when you're at the top.
Canadians know what's up because they just like euthanize everyone once they turn like 70, right? So they solve the problem of, like too many old
Gerontocracy.
scientists and old
Yeah.
politicians and stuff. Because they just straight up
Apparently, Popper
fucking
kept going until his last dying breath.
euthanize them.
And he just loved it, eh? Like, he was, like, never depressed about being old. He was just like, what's my problem for the day? And he just, like, spend all day trying
What's my
to
problem? Try not to shit my adult incontinence
Yeah,
nappies.
like, he must have been, like, a kind of top percentile and physical
Nah, some
standpoint.
people are totally with it till the very end.
Yeah.
It's just, what do you do? Like, what does anyone do when you reach such a high peak and then you can't perform on the same level? Like star athletes, man, it must be fucking devastating to.
It's happening to Djokovic at the moment. At his interview after Aussie Open semi-final, it was like I think it was his first time he kind of realized. He was like so in shock by it. He was just like, "I wasn't good today, like at my level." And he's just like, and someone's like, "You're 36," and he's like, he goes, "We'll see, maybe." But like, I reckon it was probably hitting him. Like, yeah,
If you
it's maybe
peak,
the decline.
he's also like declined really late. Like, let's
Yeah,
say your modal athlete peaks at age 30. You've
it
got like
differs to a sport, but
50
yeah.
years of being over the hill, and you've had like maybe 10 years of being at or
Five.
on your trajectory upwards. Fuck. Don't like that ratio. That's why I never became a professional athlete. There's no other reason why.
Mine was not enough intellectualism.
Lack of verbal fluency for an
No,
athlete.
sorry, not enough intellectualism in their life. You know, can't be doing book club every week.
I thought you were saying you were too dumb
There's
to be.
a Tyler Cowen there.
All right, okay.
Let's do it. You lead
Okay.
us, Stretch.
I'm just gonna give
You tell
a
me.
quick little
You tell me about stream of consciousness.
I'm gonna explain woman to you guys, to you
Yeah,
fellas.
you tell me what you think
Yeah.
the
Yeah. No,
about.
I'm
I'll
gonna
see if
dump
you're
a few
correct.
thoughts and then we can dive into whatever. I think I've got a frustrating but exciting relationship with this book in that there's a lot of passages that I just had to absolutely slog through, and I'm very sympathetic to Cam's argument about like preferences are important and some of the stuff is just not really for me. But then there are other bits that I think are so fucking good that it felt like a transcendent experience reading them. And that would be typified by like the dinner scene in particular, I think is extremely good. And it's like such a good depiction of gender dynamics that it kind of almost like strikes too close to home, right? Like I see myself depicted in there, and it feels like a bit uncomfortable in that she captures very well the demands that men in particular tend to make upon other people in social situations. I also really like how I hadn't even really thought about it as a feminist text, but obviously it is, because it's not like some kind of shrill kill all men type portrayal. And it's not like satirical or mean or cruel. It feels like some kind of neutral anthropological observation of the ways in which Homo sapiens interacts between the men and the woman in group context or whatever. And I think it's like so perfect, and it also really timely for me because I've been having a lot of course, not a lot, but some conversations recently with like Phoebe and some other people about this tendency for older men to just like become incredibly self-interested and to become like, I don't know, I want to call it like autistic, but to have that male, some of those male coded traits of like monologuing, being incapable of taking actual interest in others, having a poor theory of mind,
You see
and
that in yourself?
also, Huh?
You see that?
Well,
I see it in myself a bit.
yes, but I think there's something about getting older. I'm interested. I'm going to read a book about autism by Sacha Baron Cohen's cousin or whoever,
Yeah.
because I think it's going to be quite interesting for me to
Brother.
think about.
Cousin.
But my dad, I don't want to name names, but I'm going to fucking throw my dad under the bus. Like he's a good example of this. And
Is your dad like the breakdancing dad?
what?
Oh, did you see that? The breakdancing dad? Man. Well, you're online, bro.
Nah, I'm not that
I know
online.
Benny's not online anymore. Nah, it's pretty big at the
Oh, that's
moment.
true. What the
It's
fuck's going
like Phoebe's potentially seen the breakdancing dad.
Nah, she's so un-online. It's
No.
her greatest trait. She
No,
knows
interesting.
nothing about
I thought
online
she would have been for
discourse.
a job.
Nah, man, she's too busy like doing important, useful
Doing
stuff.
actual job stuff. Which
Yeah.
just kind of felt a bit related to her job, you know, like startups and shit.
Surprisingly, no. I fill her in on like any meme-related discourse or culture wars or whatever. But anyway, yeah, like it's this thing where you monologue, you are getting your emotional needs met from other people, but you don't even really know that you're doing it. And you have no male friends or close friends. And so the people close to you, which is usually your long-suffering wife or your family members, just end up being like used in service of your needs and you're totally oblivious to it. So that's like something I've been thinking about. And then I just think this is a crazy good depiction. Fucking, it's true right now. Imagine how true it would have been 100 years ago, where if you're a man hypothetically reading this, you would be unlocking a new understanding of things that simply had never occurred to you, I think. Unfortunately, the readership probably doesn't include that many of this of the type of people who ought to read it. I don't know what the history of this is, but like maybe it's a really good early depiction of like the concept of emotional labor, which, you know, is sort of in the common
And the
parlance
female
now.
perspective, yeah.
Yeah. But also, yeah, I mean, I've got more to say than that, but I don't want to go on. I don't want to fucking monologue at you guys.
Yeah,
So,
bro.
you should
You can't get
monologue,
out of it, bro.
man. Yeah, it's genetic. I'm actually neurodiverse. But Benny, what do you want to say? You started saying your reaction.
Yeah, I think it's just a less honed in version of your reaction, basically. I would say 25% of the passages are interesting and 10 are extremely good. And then the other 75%, I'm somewhat lost. And perhaps that's just me being psychologically unable to pay attention. But I find it's best if I read it chapter by chapter, like read one chapter, put it down, and then, you know, come back to it either the next day or whatever. Unfortunately, this means, I mean, the chapter's not that long, so it's like a slow read. But I think trying to jam through 20 pages at once is extremely hard with this kind of book because it's dense reading.
Yeah.
Like reading someone's thoughts
You can't do it.
is dense reading, and insofar as it actually represents sort of how people think and ruminate and observe, it's like a non-trivial, like stream of consciousness. If it's true, like the sort of the more true it is to the human experience, I think the harder it is to read. And it does seem quite true to the human experience insofar as like what dominates their thoughts, like a lot of thinking about other people and status and desires and that sort of stuff. And it's still sort of hard to read. So I am enjoying it. Unfortunately, I'm still not far enough. I'm on like page 70 or something. I'm still not far enough to be able to, I haven't reached the dinner scene yet, for instance. But there are things I'm really liking about it. I'm starting to pick up on various patterns between the characters and whatnot, and starting to observe the trends with which people observe and talk to one another. The feminist thing is definitely there in the background, but I also find it interesting that there. So I remember Cam saying last time that there are autobiographical elements,
Like
and
the
I think
Ramses are
the
her parents, essentially.
yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's interesting that while there's certainly feminist undertones, like at the end of the day, Mrs. Ramsay still adopts, like while her thinking is maybe
She
not
defers to men, right?
stereotypically feministic, she does defer in her
Sometimes.
actions to men,
Yeah.
right? So she continues to be just like the household mom who looks after things, cleans things, helps set people up, et cetera, and is thinking about good matches for people's futures, et cetera. And so this seems like very traditional in that sense. It's kind of
There's a
unfair to
couple of
me.
moments where she seemed keen to do that. Like people might call it internalized misogyny now, but like,
Right,
no, this is where she gets
exactly.
her power from, right? Well, I don't want to interrupt you. You keep going, but I want to talk about
No,
that.
I'm going.
All
Yeah,
right.
no, let's talk about that.
Well, Cam, do you want to do your first impression? There's a couple of things that I'll write down to come back to you.
My impression hasn't changed too much. Do you guys reckon anyone like likes all of it? Do you know what I mean? You know how sometimes like you find a like there's just a preference out there that someone just. I think like I was seeing some like Goodreads reviews, which I think usually aren't that great, but in some of them they just it seemed like they just love the writing there, like every page. I
Yeah, I
think
checked out some
the type of person
Goodreads
who
reviews.
likes poetry, like basically
Yeah.
parts of this book are almost
It's
straight
like prose poetry.
poetry, metaphor, and allusion, and there's no reference, there's
Ain't
no
my
like
bag, bro. Ain't my
obvious
bag.
reference, so it's like that's why it's so dense. But I think like if I read this again, which I actually think I will, I'm going to spend more time on those bits, whereas in this first read where I've been confused some of the time, I've been skipping them, I've been skimming them pretty much, and not trying to like belabor every tease out the meaning of every sentence. But I could believe that. Like, think about the epic poems. Think about like Milton and Virgil,
That's
and
what I'm worried about. Never getting in, never been able to get into it.
think about, yeah, Shakespeare and stuff. Like, people 100%, there are a lot harder texts to read than this that people absolutely love, where the language is even more archaic and the allusions are even vaguer, or less within the pool of shared knowledge. And so it doesn't, I don't think they're lying at all, but I think that
No.
reaction is fine as well. Like, I
I
think,
think part of it is like a, especially getting those sort of texts, the big background knowledge and understanding that, like once you understand a lot of that, then you can, like I'm finding Infinite Jest pretty easy to read second time. I've stopped now because, you know, all my energy is going into Wolf, but it's remarkably easy to read, and it's like it's weird thinking back, like theory of mind of like why was this ever hard to read, but it's obvious because we have a lot of context now, and it was extremely difficult to read the first time.
So should we go to Mrs. Ramsay? I'm curious about Wolf's intentions for her, because I think she owns her role and she enjoys this role. I don't think she feels resentful of it, except in a few individual moments. Whereas if you counter her against Lily Briscoe, I think Lily is the
She's the
Virginia
painter,
to
right?
stand in. Yeah, she's the artist, and
Yeah.
she bridles against all of this stuff that's being imposed upon her, and she ultimately rejects it. She does not want to play their games, and she doesn't, in the end, it's not really a huge spoiler, she doesn't get married. She becomes like a spinster, and she tries to center herself around her own art and her own personhood. She doesn't want to play this game at
How far
all.
are you in, Rich? Have you seen it?
Did Wolf get married?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Wolf was kind of lesbianish. Like, she had a famous relationship with her sister, and then her sister got married, and like Wolf felt quite alone once her sister got married,
Oh, does
and
she
then
have a
never.
marriage of convenience?
It's like back then you kind of never know like how much she's like kind of bisexual, how much she's like lesbian, and in the sign in the times you have like a husband. But yeah, I
Oh,
think it was a
that's,
marriage of convenience. Some, but like somewhat not as well. I think later on, like she actually got pretty into it. And like, so it's, you know, it's,
That's interesting though, because Lily has some vaguely sapphic undertones to her, I think, because she's like has this like reverence for Mrs. Ramsay, and there's a scene where she's kind of like curled up against her legs, like holding her legs and stuff. So yeah, that kind of makes sense. But yeah, I think Mrs. Ramsay owns it, and I don't know if it's meant to be a critique. Again, like, I don't even know how much of this is a critique. Some of it is, but some of it seems to be just like saying the way things are. And you get like very good insights from the men's point of view too, where they are bored by the woman's chatter and they wish they were working. Like, they feel annoyed that they have to make conversation about like the British mail service, and like, oh, you hardly know why I bother sending letters or whatever. And they're like thinking about their philosophical problems that they could be working on, and they're like not being present in the group environment. Maybe some of this is made more clear in the at the dinner party scene, which you
Do you
guys have.
relate to that at all?
100%.
Just getting annoyed
Yeah,
at like chitter
100%.
chatter, and like sometimes I feel well coded chitter chatter, and it's like, and the so in this book at a point, I think it's like after the dinner party scene as well, like Mr. Ramsay's reading, and then Mrs. Ramsay's reading, and like his prior is like she probably won't get it, like shit like that, but she's probably not enjoying it, and he's wrong about it. But what's kind of interesting around like this is like you can go too far and assume like girls won't understand things or they won't be interested in it. But like it's also true that like girls seem to be like less interested in like a lot of the areas that we're interested in, like a lot of the spaces we're in are like highly male, and it's just purely like preference. Like we kind of love it when a girl's there, you know, until it's time to fuck them with Ayla. But like so like it is kind of true. Just like oh, like if it was all guys, like. Would maybe be talking about like some abstract philosophy or something, but like it's also true that you can go too far and just think like
I
girls
think
can't
that like the
contribute anything. It's obviously wrong.
yeah like what you like the three of us are pretty good at this. We actually have good social niceties and stuff, but I think the failure mode that she's pointing out is what happens when you get a bunch of I mean, it does seem to be an older male trait, a bunch of men in a room together, and someone has to sort of shepherd them into making the group into a unified whole rather than being these atomized, self-obsessed, highly specialized people sitting there who are each waiting for their turn to hold forth on a subject. And it is the woman's role in this book to facilitate and bring about those interactions and like shine their light upon each man so that they can have their little moment. And I think that isn't true of all interactions amongst men. Like obviously we have a good time and like could go to some kind of meetups and we don't need that social facilitator role, but like there are definitely cases where this happens and where you have this incredibly, she uses the word sterile, the sterility of men, which I think is like a great way of putting it.
Yeah, and Mrs. Ramsay's character like doesn't really like Tansley, but she
No.
still has a lot of warmth and energy towards him, eh, to like facilitate him.
Yeah. She says the whole of the effort of merging and flowing and creating rested on her. Again, she felt, as a fact, without hostility, the sterility of men. For if she did not do it, nobody would do it. And I think that really rings true of my observations of like gender dynamics.
Well, I wonder how much has changed now, because I can't like I certainly think of older movies or movies set back then, and it's like the guy's talking, and then like the wife comes in and like organizes like, and it's like okay, we're going for a cigar now, sort of thing, and like the wife's accommodate that, and I definitely see that dynamic. I find it a little bit harder to relate to these days. I find it easy to relate to that idea of we're all a bit solipsistic, and but not so much like the female like catering to it all, but maybe that's happens as well. I find it hard to think of like big scale. I can imagine like just like when you come stay, and then like Ellen caters towards us sometimes. Like I see
Well,
that dynamic.
she's making sure that like the dinner gets made and we get
Yeah.
out the door at the correct time so we don't miss the tennis game. She's
Yeah, and we
connected
have
from
time to talk about our philosophy and
yeah.
et cetera. Like yeah, no, I definitely see that more. Now I'm thinking like at a big scale group thing. I find it a little bit like so sometimes girls aren't even there, you know?
Yeah.
And we survive.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is like I don't think this is what happens every time. I think it's just like the potential failure mode. 'Cause obviously like the other thing to acknowledge is that all the usual caveats around like individual differences are vastly more variation than group level differences. It's more like masculine coded, feminine coded traits. That definitely is not true of any given person. But like in fact that's one of the reasons why I like this book is that I sort of empathize with both sides because I feel like I'm sometimes in both positions where like I have these men in my life, older men who I should pay respect to in some sense, and I'm quite a people-pleasing person, and I've found myself so many times in the exact Lily Briscoe position of being like, These guys are fucking oblivious. I know that what will make them happy is to ask them, keep asking them questions that I'm not interested in so that they can just hold forth. They're not ever going to ask anything about me. They're not interested in my work or my life. And I play the role anyway, usually, and I feel resentful about it and sort of somewhat hostile towards them, but I continue doing it anyway. So it's not an actual male female thing. It's just that I wish I had the language to talk about this from like Baron Cohen's work, but I think there's some kind of some spectrum-y type trait here, like a male
Yeah. I
masculinity.
wonder if I think that's right. But sometimes I just read a little bit from like autism activists, and one guy, Jim Sinclair, who's an autist himself, and like he pushes back a little bit at the idea that autists like don't put effort in to understand. Like he had this quote like autists, well himself at least, like tries to put in tremendous effort to understand where the other person is coming from, and they kind of struggle with it. And regular people don't put much effort into understanding where autists are coming from.
Yeah,
He kind of inverts it.
autism
He kind of inverts it a bit. Yeah, I mean, there are times where like there's kind of a female version, or like a of like me kind of listen. You kind of you see, it's kind of like listening to the wife complaining. And you're kind of like, I don't necessarily agree with like all of these complaints, but you kind of, you know what I mean? Like, is that just me? And like, but maybe that's an
Yeah.
example of the selfish male, of just like,
Well, it's the classic thing of like they don't want you to start providing solutions and giving them more feedback and stuff. They don't want you to
that's like
listen.
an assault sometimes.
Yeah.
Why don't you do this? I don't want a solution.
One of the ways I was thinking about phrasing it is like, do you guys think that at the group level, women have better like theory of mind than men do? Or women and men have the same theory of mind, and men just simply don't care about how other people are feeling.
I think
I think it's the
certainly the,
former.
well, certainly the latter is a thing though, and I wonder sometimes it's a thing that I fall victim to. Kind of like, yeah, you. I feel
Like
like I'm
men are
either,
just more.
yes. Like, why you not
Yeah.
understand where I come from? I am. I just, it's kind of like, yeah.
Well, we could get a handle on it by looking at disagreeableness across populations on average, right? Like,
Well,
I think
men
it
have
is
much
true.
higher
Men are more
disagreeables.
disagreeable. Yeah, exactly. Men are more disagreeable than women on average, which I guess is evidence for the second theory. But I don't know. I've been in enough situations where a woman has like told, or like something happens in a group setting, and then afterwards, a woman like tells a man, like, "Do you understand how that was interpreted?" or something like that. Like, kind of gives him the social cue, and he'll go, "Oh, like I didn't understand that. Like, I didn't realize that," or something. And these aren't all
Yeah,
just
but
like
do you relate
autistic
to, like,
dudes,
do you
right?
find
Like,
yourself that happening to you quite a lot? Of like, didn't realize I was being rude.
yeah, but we're empaths.
So, now, to me, it's more
On
like that
not
Fyodor
that often,
Pavlovich thing.
but more as I get older,
Okay, interesting.
I do notice sometimes like it's a slightly harder, and that might also be a generational thing. Like, if you hang out with some younger people, sometimes there's just like some interesting cues that you've realized, like their generation, like even
Yeah.
like people 5 years younger than you have developed, that you're kind of like, I don't quite understand what's going
Yeah,
on.
that's a bit different. But like, yeah.
I think there's a feedback mechanism here thing here, where perhaps the reason that it tends to be older men is that they end up in situations where people are not giving them feedback, and so they don't get regular reminders about how to be good conversational partners and how to take an interest in other people, and or they're usually the most important person in the room, and so naturally people are only inquiring about them and their work and so on, and it just sort of calcifies over time. Whereas that's not necessarily inevitable if you're in like a, for instance, like I think I have had some of these traits, and I think the rough edges have been buffed off somewhat through like good relationships with women over the years. Of like, I have definitely had some of those moments where I was like, oh, you interpreted this in that way? Oh shit, like that was not my intention at all. And like, I keep those examples in the back of my mind for future interactions. And like, I think I have developed a better theory of mind and like ability to model other people's reactions and like realization that other minds have, can be very different to my own. But
See,
that wasn't, that didn't necessarily have to happen. Like, that's only happened through lots of fruitful relationships. I mean, like, yeah, some fruitful and some probably more volatile, I guess. But like, yeah, it's a work in progress. And now, of course, I'm a perfect empath, but it wasn't always that way.
So you're saying this old man thing is like there's something kind of male about it rather than just like this is like narcissism of like.
Yeah, because narcissism, if you like, if it has any meaning at all, has to be some actual psychological, like psychiatric diagnosis, right? Other than the colloquial version in
Well, it can
which
be a
everyone has
colloquial
sort of.
version of it that like some people are more narcissistic.
Yeah, but doesn't that just sort of boil down to the same thing? Like, okay, it's just another way of saying why are men more.
Yeah, so but are you saying like there's a kind of male tinge to this kind of narcissism phenomenon, this type of narcissism at least, rather than like, oh, your dad might be a little bit narcissistic or like
Yeah.
something like that?
My guess is that men have a worse theory of mind than women because, for example, like, my mum was like, I've sometimes perceived my dad as being straightforwardly like malicious or an asshole. And my mum was saying that is not the case. And that whenever he is upsetting people, he's unaware that he's doing it. And when he's boring people, he's unaware that he's doing it. And that it's not actually. It's not malicious. He's just oblivious. So I'm coming around. I hadn't even realized that. So I'm coming around more to the fact that, like, I think maybe men on average have worse theory of mind. And as you guys point out, men are more likely to be disagreeable. So they don't see their role as like smoothing things over or being careful not to ruffle feathers. They're just interested in like the truth and saying it like it is, and facts don't care about your feelings and this kind of thing. And that's the bit which I especially relate to, where I've often gotten in trouble from being like, oh, I'm just being honest. And, oh, I just want to be totally transparent. And actually, I should have shut my fucking mouth and
Yeah, it's
like.
funny when you see it in someone else, like at some social gathering, you like they come across as a jackass, right? Like, sometimes there's instances where they're like probably more of an innocent victim and being held down by, but like, and then sometimes you slip into it yourself. But me with theory of mind stuff, I feel like I fall victim more to like the Fyodor Pavlovich, like he's aware he's being the clown and he's okay with it. And like I remember my ex, like her friend, a couple of her friends, like it was almost a shit test, I feel, which is like kind of like the selfish guy thing, but like because she was like, are you like, I think my friends think you're weird, because I was being stupid, and I was like, I'm aware I was kind of being stupid, like yeah, like they can't think I actually was just, I don't know, like maybe, but maybe the joke was on me that like I was just being stupid, like to like higher level,
It's the bell curve meme.
but like I was saying, like a Norm Macdonald joke or something, one of his long ones that go nowhere or something, and this one, the one girl was just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then I was sort of hoping, well, the other girl kind of sees, like, surely she's in on the joke of it. And then my partner at the time was just like, my friends think you're autistic. Her stepmom thought I was as well. And I was like, well, fuck, maybe I am. But, like,
Was this the first
you've
time
got to
you're meeting
stop
her
trying to
friend?
tell Norm Macdonald bits
Yeah,
like,
dude, that's a bad opening.
But like I've been
Skills,
at a
bro.
party where a guy, I didn't even know Norm Macdonald at the time, this guy told a Norm Macdonald joke. It's like the Dirty Johnny joke or the was it the chicken? No, not the chicken. The spider joke. It's really long, goes on for like 5 minutes and it's kind of got no ending. And everyone's like, what? Why are you saying that? And like he's saying it at this party and like people were honestly like thought this guy was like the most retarded guy or just like the weirdest guy. And I'm there and I was just like, I was losing my shit. Eh? It was like the funniest thing I've ever seen. I didn't even know the guy that well. And then I find out it's a Norm Macdonald joke. And so I try it sometimes. But like he had to take the brunt of like being the Pavlovich clown.
I reckon
Anyway.
just keep trying it. Just tell the joke
Yeah.
three, four more times amongst new groups of
Well,
friends. And
there's an appeal to that. It's almost the same crowd. You're like, I told you the tell them another one. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Which is a little bit saddest, or sadistic.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, maybe it's got like it's affecting other people too.
Yeah.
You're like demanding 5 minutes of their time so you can do a meta joke, like not even a funny
Yeah,
joke, but a joke that is not funny, which makes it funny privately to you, but
know
not.
that's it. And the joke's kind of on them, like
Exactly. Yeah.
not
Yeah.
getting
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like a way to hold yourself above other people. Yeah, it's something to do with power dynamics or respect dynamics too, right? Where the older you get, the more you're expecting people to pay tribute to you in some way, which might be just giving you attention, even though what you have to say is not very interesting. And again, it's like a self-reinforcing cycle because we have respect for our elders in general, which is a good thing, and for our parents and, teachers or whoever else. It doesn't have to happen though. So I'm interested in like f making sure for me personally that it doesn't happen, or at least not too badly. Like, yeah, I know like a 93-year-old, a woman who is, I mean, she's almost a Mrs. Ramsay, but she's not full. I don't know whether she derives joy from playing that role, but she at least is extremely good at like, she has an incredible memory of who is who in relation to who else, all the social context, all the intrigues. She asks
That's a classic
excellent
wife trope as
questions and
well, eh?
like, yeah,
Telling the
totally.
husband or even your kid's birthday as well, certainly the nephews and nieces and or like picking out your shirts for you and things like that.
And often I think that role is enjoyed, right? Which is somewhat reflected in Miss Ramsey.
Exactly. And that's why it's so interesting, because it's not a condemnation of men are selfish bores or whatever. It's like Mrs. Ramsay is this kind of godlike chess, like what would you call it, like a chess
Yeah.
master or something. She's like
Turn
placing
like
her
a game master.
pieces, and
Yeah.
she's arranging people at the table, and she's like coordinating so and so should go on a walk with so and so. And there's a lot of information being conveyed without words as well, where she'll like look at her husband in a certain way so as to transmit some piece of information that she knows will get such and such a reaction out of him. And so you're watching like mastery over social reality, both in terms of being able to observe and predict all of the currents and undercurrents, and then also like act with agency to shape them and to bring about a certain type of experience or to manipulate someone's mood for the better. I mean,
And I
like she's
suppose
not using it in a malicious way.
the feminist angle is that this mastery is lower status than other types of mastery, or at least and that's not even quite true, is it? But it's at least not, yeah, lower status on this kind of social level. But like when you see it, I remember witnessing a Mrs. Ramsay type, big family that would go for dinner with sometimes in the Coromandel, like heaps of kids, and they'd have like heaps of cousins staying. It was like the Hebrides with the Ramsays, and she often would be the one cooking, but like she's so warm and so like, you know, she'd be lovely, like Alan would feel comfortable with her straight away, and I feel like she was just amazing, and she just ran the show, and it was almost her, like she's is kind of the matriarchal aspect to it, but that wasn't even wrong, that didn't feel fully right either. It's not like
Partly it's that if it's done, possibly it's given lower respect, right? Lower status. But
well, yeah, I was gonna say I
I think
really
it's
like
also
her,
just, but
like is.
it's also just not thought about explicitly, because if you have this model that men on average are bad at even noticing this stuff, then it is truly invisible mastery, invisible labor.
Yeah, there's a
And
bit of
that's what's
that.
interesting about being led into this world, because part of the act, unlike these men who show it so transparently on their faces, which is kind of a funny inversion of the like emotional woman trope, part of the job of maintaining a smooth social environment is not letting it show when you are actually having some like internal turmoil about like what to do or feeling stressed or
Yeah, it's
feeling
kind of that scene in
grumpy
Love
or
Actually,
whatever.
right? When
Like you're concealing the work you're doing as part of the work itself. But
yeah.
doesn't she sort of like lose her shit a little bit at the dinner thing? I read like a bit further on, I've read some commentary around it. Like it seems like she does not hold it together. It seems like there's two events
Yeah,
that
Rich is
sort of throw
totally
her off kilter. Like,
lying.
yeah, Rich, you're just making shit up. You're just pulling it right out of your ass.
That's right now. All right, I haven't read the fucking book, I admit it.
because it seems like so like two things happen. One, she's trying to bring two people together. right? Just trying to like set two people up, and they arrive late or whatever. And then there's also this like second serving of soup incident, right?
No,
Where this
no,
dude
no.
at
Mr.
first.
Ramsay is furious about the soup, not Mrs. Ramsay.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you guys
Okay, what
sometimes
about
say
the.
sometimes I read Mr. Ramsay as Mrs. Ramsay because they're like so close.
Yeah, they're annoyingly
Yeah, do you think
close.
they're
Yeah.
related? But especially when it flips to the perspectives. But you
Okay, so
talking
that's
about that,
Mr. Ramsey. That makes
keeping it
sense.
together reminds me of the Emma Thompson scene in Love Actually, you know, when she just finds out Alan Rickman is like cheating on her. She likes you. Oh, well, that's the scene in the movie, and she like gets it together, gets the kids out the door. Oh man, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And speaking of
I don't think.
invisibility, like that woman I was telling you, the real life Mrs. Ramsay, I remember her comment once around whenever there's a barbecue and like the guys go out, you know, flip a few sausages and stuff. And then usually, invariably, afterwards, everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, great cook, Mr. Ramsay, you know, like good job on the bar. And she was just saying, there's this thing like, it's like, come on, he's just flipped a few fucking barbecues. I sort of give him that because it's the male need to do that. And she's made this like potato salad, and she's like got it, like all this shit. It's like way harder. And then like, you know, cause the meat's the star of the dish sometimes. And everyone's like, oh yeah, good job, Cam.
Yeah.
It's totally unfair.
There's this older or like middle-aged couple I know where the wife refuses to let the husband get a barbecue because she knows that it will just be this weird performative thing for her, for him, where he thinks he's cooking, but actually he's constantly telling her, like, bring me this meat and bring me the platter. And like, she's doing all the sides, she's done all the shopping and prep. And he's like, just wants to kind of tokenly claim the glory at the end. And she just refuses to let him have a barbecue at all, which is also a fucked up dynamic, but it's kind of funny.
It's funny how strong the social conditioning is, because often, like when I've had barbecues, yeah, like it's the one time like I'm pretty willing to like flip the meat,
Well,
and it's just.
you've been handling meat for since way back.
I think I get the joke, but I mean, that's my verbal acuity. Yes.
I probably got about 10 minutes left. I gotta run after
All
that.
right.
So should we talk about
Yeah, you
any
talk
other
about something.
characters we want to
You
talk
talk
about?
about
Do we
something,
want to
Vinny.
talk about?
Bro, it ain't about the characters, bro. No, I'm just.
Yeah, fuck the characters, bro. I don't know. Should we talk about Pansley?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of have a
Because
little bit. Yeah.
he's
But
like
go on.
but is
Mini
he?
Mr. Ramsay.
Yeah. But he seems to actually represent, insofar as it's like a book on feminism, he seems to be the most like direct critique of like patriarchal norms, right? Where he's like telling Lily that she's not good enough to do various things, or she's trying to enter into men's endeavors and stuff. And so what where it's like it's a little ambiguous with Miss Ramsey what her claim there is Tansley basically just the epitome of asshole being an asshole dude? Is that like
Well, I feel it's
the
a little more
point of his
nuanced than that.
character?
But yeah, it's definitely part of that. And he's atheist as well, right? He
Yeah,
can be a bit
he's
insufferable about
is
that.
it an annoying atheist?
He's the pre-neo atheist.
He's us. He's our representation.
I'm a Catholic now,
Yeah,
bro.
we're the philosophy professors, bro. We're Mr. Rams. Come on.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about subject-object distinction. But anyway.
That's what Ramsay's philosophy was about. I sort of gleaned over what his philosophy was actually dealing with.
Yeah, what's is that what he's
I was
talking
more
about?
focusing on like he's just obsessed with like trying to his work like being remembered and
Yeah, that's the main thing, but I think there's something about subject ob object distinction in there. So there's this stuff about where Andrew, his son, is explaining his work is like, what does a kitchen table look like when you're not there, kind of thing. And it's kind of funny that like a guy who is a philosopher of subject object is has a bad theory of mind. Like maybe that's kind of a meta joke or something, that he doesn't realize that like the things he perceives as objects are themselves subjects. Like people are objects to a
That's a
subject,
nice
but
point.
every person is
Did you
also
read that somewhere?
a
That's good.
subject. No, I don't really. I actually didn't. I don't
Yeah.
actually have bold thoughts on what that means. Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know if it's meant to be a little funny thing, but
I think more generally is just like
yeah, that
pretty
is good.
smart philosophers even like can kind of miss these social relation truths and and things like that.
Yeah.
Like the ethicists who aren't more ethical than anyone else.
And that, yeah, isn't there like research that shows that or something?
Yeah.
I
I
don't
mean,
know how you
also, I
judge
mean,
people as being more ethical.
that's a thing. It's a
Yeah.
little hard. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all, no
In
one's
terms of like cheating
utilitarian.
on spouses,
Oh, okay.
things like you can just ask concrete questions, I think, about that sort of stuff.
I think there'd be huge like class confounders if you're like looking at professors. So I assume you test with other professors.
Yeah, exactly. See, yeah, exactly. You look at
Yeah.
just ask, and then you get rid of the
Economists are more
bias of
selfish, right?
sampling as
Isn't that a
well.
thing? Or economists, students?
Is it?
Once you've learned about it or something. I mean, all this stuff could be fake science now. I think Robert Frank has some quip that you are what you teach.
Interesting. There is a finding that like when you teach kids that they don't have free will, or if you convince them they don't have free will within like the next half an hour, they're more like, they'll cheat in some game or something. So that seems interesting. But then if you actually take people who don't believe in free will and you look at them over a longer period of time, if you like ask people who haven't believed in free will for like 10 years or something, they're equally moral as
Well, I think
their
there's
free will
no
believing
one just believes
counterparts.
in free will for like 5 months, let alone 10 years, right? That's the thing. Like, so, like, even you invade, and I'd argue, like, seep back into the illusion of free will. A lot of
Oh,
your
you just
kind
mean
of,
psychologically, like
yeah,
when you walk around with beliefs, like you act like you have free will.
I think so. Yeah,
Yeah, but that's still an interesting finding, right? Because like intellectually, if you ask me, do we have free will? And like, I'll give you the same answer every time, which is no. And
Yeah,
then
don't want to derail, but yeah, I'm still not on board with all that. But
you have any other things that you wanted to say, Benny? Or like Tansley stuff or anything else?
no, I don't have much. Like I said, I'm still early on. I mean, we should probably just talk about what we're gonna do now. So Rich is almost done. I am not almost done. I don't know what the fuck's
No,
going
Rich has
on with
just done part
Tansley.
one. Is that right or not?
No,
Part
he's
one's
almost on
on,
the boat.
part one's most of it, man. Part two's like 5 pages or something. I think I've
It's
got enough.
five pages, but it feels like eons. That
Well,
that's
it's called time
the
passing. It's called
subjective
time
passage.
passing,
The
motherfucker.
subjective passage. That's my joke, bro.
Oh, sorry. Your joke, but worse.
I don't
Like
mind. I'm
I've
happy to
gotten
keep doing it.
enough out of this that if you guys want to leave it there, I'm happy. Like I've kind of
Well, think I'm
said.
worried about Gravity's Rainbow now, bro. I'm worried I'm gonna quit reading.
We drove him Cam insane and he
Yeah,
stopped.
He reads one book by a woman and quits reading. Well, he doesn't even read it. He reads the Wikipedia pages associated with the book.
not even that, just male literary credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Up to you guys. I've got a lot out of this, and I don't know how much more. I think there will be some things in the second half to talk about around like death and entropy and maybe more actual plot elements, but whatever.
Well, the problem is it looks like we're not reading it that quickly, or Benny and I. So
Yeah.
we might be in a similar situation next week. We're not to page 100 now. It's like,
Yeah, I don't think I'll
talking
have
about the dinner scene.
no jokes though. I won't
Yeah.
have anything more to say until we
Benny's
get
still saying
ready.
this is like second favorite book. But
Yeah.
read fucking five pages a
No.
day.
That's how you know it's
I'm
good,
torn.
bitch.
Yeah.
Is that how you know it's
You gotta
good? I'm sorry.
savor it. But
Imagine if we had to read Infinite Jest 5 pages at a time.
Bro, I am worried about Gravity's Rainbow, bro. It's like.
Do you guys know about that Ulysses reading group? I think it's Ulysses, and they're reading like one page per month or something, and
Wow.
it's going to take them
Well,
like
I've heard of close
37
reading
years.
things. That's
No
interesting.
way.
Yeah,
That
I
is
can't remember
kind
the
of
exact details, but it's like a 30-year reading group.
37 years. Jesus.
Well, I
People
actually
will be
think when we
dying
next,
and holy shit.
I think when we next do Infinite Jest, we should. The problem is this time thing, but like we should potentially even do it more slowly, but maybe not, because it's just like you can talk about one little section for like probably a whole meeting sometimes.
Should we just change the book club format so that we only talk about Infinite Jest?
Well,
When we finish, we start
Infinite
again.
Jest is, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good high concept podcast. It would have such a niche
Well,
listenership.
yeah. I would listen to the shit out of that podcast, though. no, I think if we were to redo it, I'd want to spend time to get the audio right as a potential product.
Yeah, we could sell it and make big bucks.
Potential, no, just to like Put it out there for the world. Because it's like that thing where you get like Anna Gatt says she's the intellect person. Like the niche ones do the best. You just
Yeah.
with the intellects.
I have been vaguely thinking that if I start blogging again, I might start like we should maybe talk about cleaning up some audio and like maybe linking some of the less terrible ones.
Then I'm happy, but like, yeah, maybe we want to edit it and clean it up a bit. But
I wouldn't do it without talking to you guys about it, but
I don't think anything I've said is too bad.
can I just say one last thing before Benny, you have to go, which is in response to what you were saying about the experience of being inside someone's mind. I kind of think I was actually wrong about that last week, where I thought that that was the point, was to give like as an accurate, faithful portrayal of like someone else's experience. But when I thought about it more, if you were inside someone's mind, you wouldn't have confusion around like who such and such a character was. You would instantly understand and know all of the context around random name dropping person. You would shift through time really fluidly without it being like a random non sequitur or whatever. So I actually think, ironically, it kind of does a worse job of giving a window into someone's world than a more straight, less poetic literary style where like you introduce a character by describing them physically and saying a few things that set the context for who they are in relation to other people. And I don't think people's internal experience looks like highly abstract metaphors either, or at least mine definitely doesn't. And I think that's also just like probably just a stylistic device unto itself that's like meant to convey some of the intangibility rather than to be a really like high fidelity impression of what someone's mind is like.
I think that's right, and that fits into like the classic Arnold Bennett, the contemporary writer at the time, saying like all this modernist stuff doesn't feel real. But I mean, maybe the response is that it doesn't capture like a mind how it.
It captures the thoughts going through
Well,
through that mind.
more like
Yeah.
just like in this ephemeral. That's my other thing. I can never pronounce words. Ephemeral. It's because I read.
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral.
I agree. So yeah, that's a good
Like,
point.
no,
I
this
agree. It's
ephemeral thing
not.
of life. Like it kind of like I'm drawing around infinite jest. Like, it's all about chaos, and you kind of don't know what's what, and like, I'm thinking this thing, and you're th like, if we're really trying to capture this conversation now, maybe not this conversation, but hanging out, it would be like I'm thinking something else, Richard's thinking something, and it's all kind of weird and joined up, and it is a bit abstract and shit, but.
Yeah, I agree. It's not as if you're inhabiting someone's mind. It's more as if you were able, insofar as it's possible, to like transcribe all their thoughts as they're thinking them and then read it. So as I'm listening to this conversation, I'm not continually reminding myself who you guys are, where you are, what precisely we're talking about, who the author is, what all the characters' names are, et cetera. It's more like that's all just background knowledge that's not being made explicit in my thoughts. And then my thought is this stream of consciousness about all that stuff that makes sense to me because I have the underlying context. But if you were to just write it out or record it as a transcript, it would come across as like a little bit timeless, a little bit jumpy. I mean, it would be less smooth, honestly, than how she's writing the book, obviously, just because
But like I
thoughts
was sort of
can
meaning like not
like
even in
jumbled
just
and
an
weird.
individual sense. Like if you were trying to capture the scene, it might be like I stop listening and I start wondering, and it captures that. And then like what you're saying is quite different, and you might start like that captures reality of the scene that could be sort of
Like that,
jumpy.
everyone
And
has an
it's all a
internal
bit
life that's
disconnected, but then
going on
sometimes
as.
kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, like other books could, if you were an alien with no conception of human psychology reading most other literature, you'd assume maybe that people are almost more
Yeah, it's kind of linear and
involved in
straightforward.
the conversation than they are. Like in reality, people are involved in a conversation, but they're also thinking about how to respond to the person, how they're looking at the time, what the other person might think of them. Like there's all these like
Or if they're just
disconnected.
bored, yeah.
There's this, there's this personal experience of having a conversation where some percentage of you is paying direct attention to what they're saying, but a lot of you is, dealing with all these other weird emotional, psychological
Have you guys ever tried
Shit
to
going
do
on.
stream of consciousness writing? It's hard to
Not
do
really.
well.
You'd think that you could just sort of
You just do it, bro.
just
Oh yeah,
like
Scott
just do it.
Alexander. Scott Alexander's stream of consciousness. That's a perfect paragraph.
Just write.
Yeah, it depends how like fucked up your consciousness is,
How high
how
your verbal
incoherent
tilt
it is.
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny. So like, some rappers are like a stream of consciousness, and it's really cool. Like Andre 3000 is the famous sort of everyone knows that he sometimes does that. And then, but this guy Kool Idee, he's like the Andre 3000 of this group called Das Racist. But like, it's not like freestyle, but he's written this way of stream of consciousness, and you can just see it. And then, like, it feels like the mind. It feels like it's this direct transcription of his like thoughts, like the line. It's
How do you
obviously,
draw the difference between freestyle and stream of consciousness?
well, freestyle would literally be improvisational. Well, it's a bit confusing with rap because like freestyle means two things, and people get
If you're
confused sometimes.
freestyling, isn't it just like stuff coming up in your
Yeah,
head and.
there's a freestyling is literally stream of consciousness. You're right, and literally improvisational. But what I mean is, Kool Idee would be written the same way that To the Lighthouse is written, in a style that seems like improvisational stream of consciousness. But
I see, yeah.
yeah, and like, and you go, well, like somehow he's able to show to fake it essentially.
Oh, we
And
should
then
read that next
some,
week and do compare and contrast.
yeah, he is a bit of a literary guy. Like he dropped Dave Foster Wallace once. Anyway, he's not like a pretentious nerd either. But yeah, like so it definitely hits sometimes, and it hit a couple times with this book. You know, like there was that one where it was like yet they had like 10 yets in a row. It's like yet this and then you're there, and I just kind of related to that. But yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
the more time you
Interesting.
spend in someone's head, like the more it becomes like an actual transfer of empathy pump that gets you experiencing what they're experiencing, and the less disorientating it becomes, to the point where if you spent all your time in their head, you would be that person basically, or close enough. So I think it does work, but yeah, it's just like a bit more, not quite what I had thought it was last week.
So what are we doing?
Nice. So yeah, what are we doing? What's the plan? My guess would be we've hit on a lot of the themes, and if we're going to have more meetings about it, we'd be rehashing a lot of the same stuff, or we'd just be talking more about the specifics of the plot.
To be honest, I got a
I'm
wee bit
still.
out of Richard's analysis of it, and so I think
Yeah, so did
if
I. So did
you
I.
can
That
do
was
that
great.
next week, like it would be all right, but
Yeah. The problem is that,
not sure
like,
how much I'm bringing
that's
to it.
all I've got up until the f page 140, so I'm not going to be able to,
I
like.
assume there's a bit more, you know, with the when they finally go to the white they finally go to the lighthouse 10 years later.
Yeah, well, that's the bit I'm. No,
Spoiler.
but, like, but that's the last 50 pages. So
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about that, but you guys need to, like, teleport to there, basically. It's only
Well, we
50
could do that.
pages.
We could do the part
But.
three. How important is part two? Like, it's like time is subjective and feels long
I mean, I
sometimes,
guess
right?
you
Sounds
should
like
do
it's only
part two
five
as well
pages. It's
since it's
surreal.
like so
But
short. Yeah, should we just say we'll do another session? We get how far we get. It would be ideal if we could cover that last section, but if not, we can always just do like a short meeting. It doesn't have to be 2 hours. We could just spend half an hour if it only deserves that, or 20 minutes.
when we look back, it's low stakes. When we look back, we'll be like, oh, wish we'll never be like, I wish we didn't do that extra week on Virginia Woolf. The other big question is, what do we do next? Are we rainbow in it? I read a couple pages that are already confused.
Oh shit. We need like an easy palate cleanser.
Maybe, but I'm not sure if we
Also,
will.
yeah, fuck.
It seems like it could be like Infinite Jest, but like this tough at the start.
And it's fucking outdated and archaic, talking about gravity and shit.
Yeah.
Curvature
We
of space time's rainbow.
could do a really good palate cleanser, but we don't all own that now necessarily. You know, just something like Stoner.
Just read Stoner again.
Books like Stoner.
Or we could do a Boyer's story. That would be low stakes.
Sure.
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be low stakes. It would be easy. We should be short.
Oh yeah.
We could do a Ted Chiang story or something for longer
Yeah. Oh,
questions.
I'm kind of keen to do brief interviews with Hideous Mem. If anyone else is
Specific
keen.
interviews or the whole book?
I think the book, and we'll do it like we'll do the first 100 pages, then the second. Like I think we'll just do it like that. And
I got
that
a
means
copy
you
of
talk
that
about the fifth.
recently, so I could do that. But I'm
Yeah, I
guessing
also have
Manny
it.
doesn't have one. Oh, you do have it?
No, I do have it, yeah.
Sweet.
Well, we could do
Oh.
that.
Plus, I live in the first world, so I can get books delivered pretty quickly. Thank you, guys.
America. Right, well,
Nice.
oh yeah,
All
fuck it.
right.
Yeah,
Well, I
I'll
gotta
do another
run.
week of Wolf, mate. Don't
All
worry
right. One
about
more week of Wolf.
it.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes. All right.
All
Sweet. See you
right.
later,
See you
fellas.
guys.
See you guys.
See you at the lighthouse.